You're with us for a caller-only hour here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We are gathering your ideas for future programs, and we're recalling some of our recent conversations, recent aha moments. And we want to hear about what shows you want us to put together in the coming weeks and months. What's on your mind? What do you want to learn more about? What are those burning questions in your community? What do you think should be getting more attention at this point in the pandemic? Join in now on this caller-only hour. Your ideas, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email them our way, ideas@WPR.org. Dan in Franksville starts us off. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wish this show wouldn't have to be heard, but we're still with the same policy with Cuba we've had for a long time. Our guy, he's probably been on your show before, and maybe in the last 30 years I haven't heard him, but his name is Art Heitzer.
Ah, the civil rights attorney.
Yep. Yeah, he has a fair amount of knowledge on that. He's been down there a lot and talked to high-level people. So, but, even the Iowa farmers, you know, they would like to normalize relations so they could sell product down there. But it's, I think Florida seems to have a lock on everything with the policies down there. One state controls all the policies of all of us, I guess.
So you're interested, yes, you're interested in kind of fleshing out what's going on with Cuba and Cuba relations.
Yeah, I think so. And okay. I think you'd get a lot of calls on it, like as usual. Yep.
I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good day.
All right, bye.
Let's go to Pam now in Richmond Center. Hi, Pam. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted the public to know that our state legislature here in Wisconsin just funded expansion of our dementia care specialist program. So now there's a person that can meet with families struggling with dementia in every county. And it's really interesting because Wisconsin's known internationally for its study of dementia at the UW there. Mm-hmm. And they train us to go and meet with people around the kitchen table. And it's just really exciting to see that there's finally progress moving in this field. So I know you guys interview a lot of authors writing books about dementia, but this is in our own backyard that now there's a specialist in every county.
Wow.
Funded by our state legislature.
Wow. Are
so
you
it's the Department of Health.
Are you a dementia care specialist?
Yeah, I'm here in Eagle Country, which is Crawford and Richland County. And we just got expanded through the Aging and Disability Resource Centers.
What are some things?
You can tell I'm really excited.
Yes. Yeah. What are some things you have learned by meeting with families one-on-one? What are those moments like?
It's really kind of heartwarming, and you see these family caregivers. These are people who are not paid, who are taking care of family and going to the ends of the earth to kind of support them at home. Mm-hmm. We work with people that live in the community, not in long-term care facilities, and what they'll go through with a disease that kind of really changes people's personality and you know, how do they work with that struggle when, you know, maybe their family doesn't recognize them or they start to wander, and mm-hmm. and we kind of really sit at the kitchen table and problem solve with them. So the pandemic was really hard on people with dementia, and so we really saw an increase with that. But there's some really brave family caregivers out there that kind of need our support, kind of reduce that stigma about dementia.
Well, I think this is a really great show topic, and I'm wondering, have you seen resources for these families expand at all, or yep. are there gaps?
Well, Wisconsin is really ahead of the pack because okay. they're looking at, like, caregiver funds. There's funds for people to be able to try and get respite or go to adult day centers, that kind of thing. So there's the state legislature has done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's caregiver funds, there's support groups, there's all kinds of things but people just don't really realize it's out there. And we have started a program here that's kind of being emulated by other states as far as, like, people getting memory screens so they can see, you know, get an earlier diagnosis
sure,
so they can
sure.
get more supports in earlier stuff.
Oh,
so it's
Pam.
Also the Department of Health.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much for your work with these families.
Oh, it's great. And it's right there at UW, the same. We're under the same roof, so it's kind of exciting that people should really recognize how Wisconsin is really moved ahead in this field. So
excellent.
But thank you for the time.
Yes,
and I
thank
to tell you.
You.
I loved your discussion about chatter. I would
recommend good. Oh, good. Well,
really I
took away so much from that book, too. I really appreciated the author. So thank you so much for listening, Pam. It was good to talk with you. Let's go to Annette now in Green Bay. Hi, Annette.
Yes. Good morning, Kate. I was hoping you could find a specialist, maybe somebody like Doug Tallamy, to talk about the interactions between insects and plants and birds and humans, and it's really the cycle of life and how energy from the sun is converted and is used by insects who are then eaten by birds. We have done so much, and it's becoming an increasing problem, the destruction of plants, the destruction of insects. Our native trees and shrubs and plants are being replaced by exotics, and the mm-hmm. connection between the energy from the sun and what our native birds and animals need is being destroyed. It's like the next energy crisis that's silently happening, and we aren't even aware that we're doing it.
What I'm hearing from you is that we really need to go back to the basics and understand how this whole life cycle occurs, and also what happens when we don't really focus on those native plants in our backyards.
Yeah, and it's not just the plants. It's also, you know, we talk about, oh, how pretty they are and mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. But it's part of our life. And the food that is generated by insects eating plants is what keeps the rest of us all alive. It's mm-hmm. like a house of cards. And we humans are sitting on top. And the bottom layer, it's all those bugs and stuff that people don't want, is what really supports the whole food chain. And it's not only on land, it's in the sea. The science behind what's going on is, like I said, I think it's the next energy crisis that's coming. And, you know, we need to have people aware of it.
Oh, well, Annette, I appreciate you calling in. And just the words you chose there, that we're sitting on this house of cards, that is really moving. Thank you for that suggestion. Bert now in Rice Lake. Bert, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Kate. I think over the years I've been thinking about this, that we have several offices on the county level. Example, Register of Deeds, Clerk of Courts, the Sheriff, that are in the elective process, which I think in this day and age is not right. I think these should be professional people. And I'll give you a good example. A couple of years ago, and I don't know how many, the person that is in charge of for the county, now I lost the name, he in charge of making sure people were dead. Now I lost what the name was. But anyway, they took that out of the elective process because any one of us, and currently now, could be sheriff.
Hmm.
The way the elective process, any one of us could be clerk of courts. So I'm thinking that we at least should have a discussion, because my theory is that neither political party wants to get rid of it because it creates interest in the political process, but which I think is a dumb reason.
Well, and Bert, anyway, it might also deserve to look outside of Wisconsin and see what other states have done and with who is goes through the elected process, is on the ballot versus who is a professional and who should be appointed.
Oh, that, you know, I think that would be a great idea, but nobody seems to, and I don't think a lot of these people lose their jobs. I think they're mm-hmm. in there and they're professional. And why do they have to run every 2 years or 4 years? I mean, to me, it's ridiculous.
You think that probably takes the focus off the job at hand as well?
I do.
Well, Bert, good to talk with you. Thank you. We'll look into that as we open up the lines this hour to find out where you want to take the morning show next. Let's talk about the programming you want to hear this month and beyond. 800-642-1234. Don't forget about the kiddos. What do they want to hear about on the show? What are their favorite authors or the people that you watch on YouTube? What questions do you want us to explore? What kind of programming would be most helpful to your family right now? Be part of it, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We are inviting your ideas for future segments. It's a brainstorm on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss all sorts of news here. And here's a snapshot of conversations from just this week. Job licensing, nursing home evictions, snowy owls, Milwaukee mayor candidates, electronic music, and naturopathic medicine. What topics are your highest priority for your mornings? Do you listen for discussions on politics, on your health, education, something else? What is important to you? Join in on this caller only, 800-642-1234. Email your show ideas to ideas@WPR.org. Topics you want to know more about and things that you want to discuss here on the morning show. We heard from Maria in Maguanago, shared a list of topic ideas over email. So threats to manatees, reducing single-use plastics and reducing plastics altogether, and a look into the increasing number of gun shops in Wisconsin. So three distinctly different topics. But Maria, thank you so much. We will add them to the list. Earlier this week, we talked with DJ and producer Claire DeRosa, who joined us for a music hour. And I want to bring this up because her music lands in the genre of tech house mixes. But we asked about DJs feeling that they're never good enough. And Claire shared advice that really resonates across, I think, all professions.
I've felt that way a decent amount of times, and I've talked to my mentor about it, and I was just so nervous for a gig, and I was like, I don't think, what if I'm not good enough? And, you know, asking the classic questions of self-doubt. And he told me, he was like, there is no such thing as a good or bad DJ. There are only prepared and unprepared DJs. And I will never forget that. So every time before a gig, I'm just creating my music. I'm figuring it out. I'm testing out songs. And I've had gigs where I was not prepared and I did not do well, but I have gigs where I'm overprepared and I did awesome. And that piece of advice really resonated with me because it's not about like who you are. You're not good or bad. It's just how much work you're really putting into it.
Ah, did you hear that? It's not about whether you're good or bad. It's just about how much work you're really putting into it. I love that moment with Claire. Let's go to another call. Tony is with us from Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're headed toward a super society of pre-engineered, pre-conceived people via gene modification. And it's a science that is moving very rapidly globally. We have very little regulations in the United States. And if we keep going down that slippery slope, we're going to be breeding a master class of people that will change humanity forever, and it's very reckless and dangerous.
Thank you so much. And Tony, you might be really interested in Monday's hour. It's not directly related to human gene modification, but we're looking at genetically modified seeds and the story of Monsanto. And so that might also be of interest to you in the genetically modified space, if you will. And I appreciate you calling in, Tony. What in particular do you think you are most concerned about as you look at how scientists go about gene modification and what the possibilities are?
Well, my argument has always been when two 10-year-old girls live next door to each other, they're best friends, and, Stephanie is gene modified and Carol isn't, and as they start maturing, Stephanie is taller, brighter, better looking, more athletic, and her friend Carol isn't, and how society will view Carol compared to her genetically modified best friend, and it's going to be a forever indelible process, because when Stephanie has a child, if she does, even if she has a child with a non-modified partner, that child will be 50% modified. So it's just
It sounds like sci-fi, but you're saying no, it really isn't. It is very much possible in the future. Thank you so much, Tony. Lisa from Nina thinks that we should cover the Equal Rights Amendment and how our senators have tried to block it. Lisa, thank you so much for that. Let's go to Kenneth now in Janesville. Kenneth, hi. What's on your mind?
Hello. I'm calling to suggest a program on the loss of our farmland here in Wisconsin, in that our villages are growing, our cities are growing, and we've been slowly gobbling up the best of our farmland over the last many decades. And if there is no land, farmland, there is no food. And we've got to start paying some attention to this, and I have not heard any program regarding this issue.
Kenna, thank you so much for that and looking into the loss of farmland and what developing the land does to our spaces that were previously farmed, what happens to the runoff, what happens to our water systems, food systems. So thank you for that suggestion. This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. It's caller only. It's ideas rich. Maybe you have questions you want to explore, stories, experiences you want to share with fellow Wisconsinites. So, you know, we're, getting a little bit of over a month into 2022. What should the morning show cover next? What topics and issues matter the most to you? Do you appreciate more advice type segments or researchers or experts? What information is most useful now? Share your show ideas. What's on your mind? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. So we also, in our last caller-only hour, connected with Janesville veterinarian Danielle Mizik, and we ended up inviting Dr. Mizik to be a guest on the show, and we talked about what vets are navigating in this pandemic.
I'm a relatively newer graduate. I graduated in 2019 from North Carolina State's vet school, moved up to rural Wisconsin, and I've actually started and seen from the beginning of the pandemic all the way through now. Mm. And one of the biggest things that I think I need people, you know, to see and hear is that it has completely changed how we get patients in, how we see them, the flow and the workflow of getting patients in. But it hasn't really changed how we care for pets. Veterinarians and vet techs are some of the most dedicated people to ensuring animal and human health. And that has not changed. It's just the sheer amount of work that we have to do to take care of everybody who adopted a pet who now has, you know, chronically sick animals that they need to take care of. That is what's changed.
Oh, I really loved hearing from Dr. Mizik there, and who participated in the caller only. Then we went back to her as a guest. At the beginning of January, we talked with Justin Kern from the American Red Cross of Wisconsin about a shortage of blood donations.
We kind of build back up our blood supplies. And that's when we started to get very concerned, especially coming into the winter and our typically low January and February months. So really, you know, that need for blood, of course, it is constant. But kind of with the double whammy of the pandemic and kind of everything going on at hospitals right now, we really are concerned and really asking people, especially people who haven't donated in a while or first-time blood donors, to join us once again and make that critical blood donation.
It was good to catch up with Justin Kern about the issues around blood donation. Let's go to Stefan in Racine. Stefan, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
I was thinking it would be nice to have a show about all of the Wisconsin Poets Laureate all over the state. There, a lot of communities have Poets Laureate, and they go out into schools and elder care homes, and a lot of them are connected to indigenous communities and underserved populations. and they bring literacy and poetry to areas. There's programs for prisons that are sponsored by Poets Laureate. So I think it would be nice just to find out what they're doing.
Oh, this is such a beautiful idea. And I can just imagine how, like in a series with Poets Laureate, and they each brought their own poem that really speaks to them, and just hearing about what they're doing. Oh, Stefan, thank you so much for that.
Great. I'll look forward to it.
Appreciate it. This is a Caller Only Hour, spending the hour listening back to some conversations and gathering your ideas for future segments this month and beyond. 800-642-1234 to join in. What do you think should be getting more attention in these times? What do you want people to know? What advice do you really need? 800-642-1234. Stay with us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What are your ideas for future programs and segments? What's on your mind? What should we chase down? Which shows have you appreciated most? Which guests should we definitely have back, and why? Join in. Your show ideas front and center. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Beth from Eau Claire is here. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I have been listening to all of your different ideas, and I like them all, but I think they're basically all symptoms of a bigger problem. And I have known about, since the 70s, population overgrowth, and we don't talk about that as the root cause of all of the problems. There just aren't enough resources for all the people.
Not enough resources for our growing planet and the repercussions of that.
We are killing everything.
Well, Beth, we will take this one with us, and thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Don, now in Madison. Don, hi. Go ahead.
Hi. My concern is about the new apartment buildings that have sprung up all over the United States, and especially here in Madison, to the extent we might have around 20 to 30,000 new units. They're built with light frame construction. They look solid and pretty hefty from the outside, but inside they're full of air and full of 2x4s spaced out. It's like setting the wood, getting it ready to burn in a campfire. If you'd like to have any of this verified, contact somebody in our fire department and ask them to talk about it on the radio.
Well, we've been in recent shows, in recent times, we've been digging in a bit to our building codes here in Wisconsin. And it sounds like, too, there's more to look at in how these buildings are made and what the code says.
Well, that's what the excuse they always use. They say it's in the code that way. Well, look, the code isn't right. The code is wrong.
Don, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And Kathy from Dodgeville, you know, here we're talking about building codes and construction. Well, Kathy from Dodgeville is listening and shared an idea by email. Kathy suggests inviting Amber Westerman, who Kathy says has designed and built a net zero home in Spring Green. And Kathy says it could be a great guest for our Ask a Contractor home improvement series that is currently on hiatus but might return this summer. Kathy, I appreciate that from Dodgeville. Thank you so much for listening and for the show idea, and especially thinking about the Ask a Contractor home improvement series. Boy, did I appreciate that. And hearing from contractors, hearing about how buildings come together and along the lines that Don is very concerned about, too, you know, how construction may or may not stand the test of time, and then what impact do these new constructions have on climate, on energy savings, climate change? So much to think about, and want to hear what's on your mind for show ideas. 800-642-1234. You know, this year we continued a series of conversations with mayors. I hope you've been listening to this mayor series. So interesting. And community leaders who are really on the front lines of change. And here's part of a recent talk we had with Wanda Montgomery. And Wanda is president of the Brown Deer Village Board.
People come here because they feel comfortable. They can see themselves. And not only see themselves in the residents that live here, but also the representation of our village board and our staff, you know, the police department and other departments within the village. Certainly some of the challenges are everybody doesn't embrace diversity. And so you may find some challenges there. But I think we're working through it because there are people who've been here for a long time and they welcome it.
Something I remember, too, from Wanda is that she greets every new resident of Brown Deer, like personally, goes up to the door, gives them her card, wants to find out who they are, where they come from, what brings them to Brown Deer, and just really that warm reception. It was really interesting to learn about Wanda Montgomery's story and what makes community. Let's go to Kurt now in Milwaukee. Kurt, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. Nicholas Tesla, he's been credited with some most amazing things people have ever.
Oh, my goodness, you're fading in and out. Nikola Tesla, is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Nikola Tesla, he's been credited with so many things that seem almost impossible. There's one thing that he was able to do with magnets where he puts them around the seed of a plant, and because of the something with the magnetism makes the plant grow quite a bit larger along with the fruit or vegetables that are on it without the introduction of fertilizers. And I would love to hear some more about, you know, some of these off the wall things that he was credited with finding out, and you know, over the years have been kind of washed away because, well, one of the things is, you know, he wanted to transfer electricity through the ground instead of through wires. Well, Westinghouse and those folks back in the 20s wanted to sell copper. And anyways, he's got a very interesting story.
Well, it'd be interesting to find an expert. I'm sure there's a professor out there or there's an author out there who deeply knows his story and his ideas.
Yes, ma'am. That would be wonderful. I mean, especially if there was a place to find some resources on some of the information that seems to have, you know, dried up on the man.
Well, Kurt, thank you so much for that show idea. Really appreciate it. You know, as the Omicron surge grew after the new year, we learned about the effects on staffing and on testing in rural clinics. And I just want to bring in this clip of Lisa Schnedler, who is president and CEO of Upland Hills Health in Dodgeville.
So we're having a lot of vacancies in staff, not as many patients in terms of the inpatient unit, but certainly we are. Our testing is just astronomically high. We have never seen testing this high. To give you an example, usually when we test our staff in the morning, we have results in the afternoon, but our testing center has the capacity of only doing 1,000 tests a day. They were able to keep up. Yesterday, they were getting 2,000 tests in, so we have a 48-hour delay on that now. So it's testing and it's staff vacancies here right now.
We've been talking to so many healthcare clinicians, CEOs of healthcare systems in these times, and hoping you that appreciate what they bring to the table as we look at how to care for people in the pandemic and the strains on healthcare. You can join in as we revisit bits and pieces of conversations on the morning show and really want to know, what should we cover next? Where do we go from here? This is a caller-only hour. We're gathering up all your show ideas and the topics you think could use more time, more attention, more discussion, opening that up. What topics or issues are important to you? What has grabbed your attention in recent times? What issues do you want to discuss further with your neighbors, your community, and as a state? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Berlin is with us from Millsville. Hi, Berlin.
Hi. I would like more programs telling us what is going on in Madison and Washington about the January 6th fiasco in Washington. Very little has been said about it. And we sent our state, Wisconsin, was one of the seven states that sent in a false slate of electors. And that is against the rules and regulations. And how do the people in Wisconsin know about this if nothing is said about it or we don't discuss it on the radio?
I hear that, Berline. You want more discussion, more insight and analysis on the January 6th insurrection, the investigations and the connections to Wisconsin. Appreciate that. Really appreciate you calling in and making that suggestion. I would imagine, Berline, you really care about elections and election coverage.
Yes, I do. I'm kind of a political junkie when it comes to that. And I pay close attention and I call the governor and I call our state officials. And I wish more people would be interested in government affairs.
Well, when you make those phone calls, what happens? What do you hear?
Well, usually they just, I get the message machine, or they said they will pass the information along. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens. Once in a while, I do get a letter.
Uh-huh.
I got a letter from Tammy Baldwin, yes, thanking me, so...
Well, Berline, good to talk with you. Thank you so much for the suggestion and for your close watch of what is happening in politics. Appreciate it. Let's go to Robert now in Decorah, Iowa. Robert, hi.
Hi.
Well, I used to live in Decorah, Iowa.
I'm a transplant here for about 30 years. So.
Okay. Okay. What's on your mind?
Okay. With the virus we've had for the last 2.5 years, you know, 2.5 mm-hmm. years.
And change.
And I'm, a thought occurred to me that since, you know, the Republicans have been yeeing and yawn and taking the medication, you know, the shots, that are more Republicans are being, to be not bad about it. You know, are the majority of them Republicans are dying or Democrats?
Mm, the politics of
yeah, and the politics. And okay. Given that politics, you know, this year, well, last year, they've reset the districts in all the states try to make them balancing it out. And
well,
given that's going on, it has this now changed.
Mm-hmm. The dynamics. Well, Robert, let me ask you this, and I'm sorry because this is totally not in the same realm of politics and the infighting and all of that. But how's Hotel Winneshiek doing in Decorah?
I try to stay out of it.
Okay.
So
beautiful. Gorgeous.
I only vote for the guy I like.
Okay.
But I do take the shot.
Any troll shop still open in Decorah?
The county nurse is.
Okay.
And the hospital.
All right.
And right now I was able to get the test kit from the Postal Service.
Excellent. Robert, thank you so much for calling in. We're collecting future show ideas from you this hour, rewinding on some of this year's memorable conversations. Have you had driveway moments with the morning show when you couldn't stop listening? What program stands out? What discussions deserve more attention? More talk. Still time to talk on this caller-only hour, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute. Maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. We're back. More conversation about the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We are hearing what's on your mind, your show ideas. Let's get back to it. Nancy is with us from Grafton. Hi there, Nancy.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Within the last week, I heard a program on the radio that said that these tattoos, people get all these tattoos, and they said that a lot of women who have tattoos are now getting breast cancer from that. Mm. And there's something also, I forget what it was, that damaged men too. But anyway, I thought that would be interesting to find out where all this comes from. And, you know, you see some people with so many tattoos, they're over on their skin.
You're curious about if there is any link or what. Yeah, so if there's been a study recently, but certainly cancer, breast cancer in particular, such an important conversation to have. Nancy, thanks so much for listening. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Brad now in West Bend. Hi, Brad.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Actually, you guys had a guest on, and granted, my timeline's way off here. Since this pandemic hit, time's just
it's a blur. It's a blob.
Yeah, who's telling? So I couldn't honestly tell you if it was 3 months or 2 years ago. You guys had a guest on from Columbia University, I believe.
Okay.
And he was discussing how, the stock market, 20, 30 years ago, it was an indication of, how the middle class was doing and whatnot. And I think he had made comments, again, anywhere from three months to two years ago when he was on with you guys about how the stock market now is more of an indication of how the wealthy are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the false pretenses of, the stock market is amazing, everyone's great, it's not that anymore. The guy from Columbia, I believe he said, nowadays the stock market, it's indication on how the wealthy are doing. It's not a clear indication of what the average middle-class American might be going through or how their bank account might look or anything like that. It's the stock market, it seems, is a false pretense to what the middle class is doing, how they're doing.
Well, and certainly to revisit this topic as well, because as you point out, so many people are not invested in the stock market.
Exactly. I mean, for instance, you got Google, who's finally getting ready to do a 20-to-1 split, which will make it about $150. But I mean, how many people nowadays have the ability to go spend $2,500 during a pandemic to get a Google share or, Facebook or any of those, for instance?
Well, we'll chase down this Columbia University economist. And, I'm racking my brain. I can't remember who it was, but I, too, have got the fuzzies going on with, we cover so much ground. But good to talk with you, Brad. Thank you for bringing that to the table.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Antia now in Spring Valley. Hi, Antia.
Hi, it's Antia.
Antia, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. I would like if you could do a show around permaculture, like Mark Shepherd does, but not on a huge scale, on a small scale, like what we can do in our own backyards.
Huh. Interesting. Have a little more there. What have you learned?
Well, with permaculture, it's a way of growing plants, vegetables, grains, bushes, whatever you really want, in your own little ecosystem, so to speak, that works together. So you would attract beneficial insects as well as have the plants to feed them and the ability to add food to your table to help feed you. And it's a way of putting things together like Mother Nature kind of intends without needing to use a whole bunch of chemicals and pesticides and things. I refer to it as being a lazy gardener because the bugs and the animals that you have and that you attract do most of the work for you. So
I love it.
I think Mark Shepherd's it started originally in Australia because permaculture, water is a valuable resource for us, and it's expensive, and we can't replace it.
Yes.
And so it's a way to maximize on being able to grow and feed yourselves without running out of resources as well. And Mark Shepherd has pioneered this. He has a book out. I believe he's in Viola. It might be Wisconsin. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll check it out. Yes. Antia, thank you so much. Permaculture, we are adding it to the list. Appreciate it. Let's fit in Daryl now in Delavan. Daryl, hi.
Hi. How are you today, Kate?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. My idea is a program, and you could call it, there ought to be a law. And everybody can call in and say what they think should be a law.
Hmm.
You know, just for fun.
There ought to be a law. So if we had that program right now, what is your top law? What would you bring to the table?
I hadn't thought it out that far.
I'm putting you on the spot, and then... And then that happens. Well, there ought to be a law. We'll put that on the list. Daryl, thank you so much for listening and calling in. Appreciate it. Samantha now in Eau Claire. Hi, Samantha.
Hi there. I think you guys have done this before, but I would love to hear more about all the weird small town festivals around Wisconsin.
Oh, that is awesome. Which ones are your favorite, or which ones are most peculiar to you?
I think UFO Days in Elmwood always stands out to me.
Wait, which one? What did you say?
UFO Days in Elmwood.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Now, do you go to these little small town festivals as excursions on the weekends in nicer weather?
I occasionally do. I like to go to some of the big ones, too, like Apple Fest and Bayfield.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I appreciate it, Samantha. Thank you so much. We'll look into those small-town Wisconsin festivals, the peculiar ones. Alice now in Duluth, I think. Alice, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm interested in the interaction between human beings and animals. I'm thinking particularly as an example, deer. We're hearing that they can carry COVID. What is the danger of getting bird flu? So basically interaction between animals and human beings.
Okay, deer and animals. So we need a virologist, I think, on this one, and something that we want to look more closely, certainly in these times of COVID. And is that, I would imagine, something on your mind too, Alice?
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm surrounded by deer in my yard, and one way I love them, mm-hmm. but they're leaving their droppings. Is there any danger of disease?
Okay. Well, appreciate your call. Thank you so much. And we also heard from a listener who shared over email they want to hear more programs about the health risks of obesity. So there, actually, in another one here, shared over email that they'd like to hear a political strategist offer ways for citizens to regain political power in the face of gerrymandering and voter suppression at the state level and nationally. So many ideas. Thank you so much for all of these show ideas and for spending part of your day with The Morning Show. We really appreciate it. We love pursuing these topics. And as always, we really love hearing from you. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.